Colossians chapter 3, if you're reading along. I'm still talking about singing by the church. We ask the question, you don't have to answer it out loud, but can we sing in the church? Scripturally speaking, the answer is no. We cannot sing in the church. I hear people on the radio, I see them on TV, and they'll even say the church is not a building, it's the people. And then they turn around and talk about the building, and what do they call it? The church. You ought to be in church this morning. Church, church, church. Well, the church is to sing, but we don't sing in the church. It is singing by the church. And according to instruction from the New Testament scripture, where Paul writes, it's also in Ephesians, very similar words, not exact words. But in Colossians 3, we read these words, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." That's the three kinds of songs we're to sing. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We actually just done two of those. We done a hymn, and then we done a song this morning. That's what we did. They're not all hymns. No. It's just, you know, they're not all hymns. They're not all hymns that give direct praise and glory to God. Some of them are spiritual songs. They talk about our walk or our life or our troubles or our distresses. But these are the three kinds of songs: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then he goes on, singing, and this is what I want to try to concentrate on this morning, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Yes. Now, Paul adds this. He doesn't say that in the Ephesian epistle, but that doesn't make it nevertheless less true or important. The very fact that it's in Scripture, Paul in this Colossian epistle does not say we're merely to sing about grace. It's not what he says. He doesn't say sing about grace. And he doesn't say, a lot of people, when they think of singing with grace in your hearts, They are thinking singing graciously. Yeah. And that's not what it says either, is it? It's not we're to sing graciously. We are to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Yes. Paul, and I know I said this last week, but I'm just leading up to where I want to begin. Paul is not encouraging the inclusion of grace in our songs. He is expressing the absolute necessity of the existence of grace in our hearts. Grace is not just a doctrine we believe.
That's right.
It is a doctrine we believe, but grace is not just a doctrine we believe, it is a blessing of God we possess.
Yes, sir.
It is real. God's grace in Christ is a reality, it is not a theory. It is not a mere doctrine. There are a lot of people that believe a lot of different things, and those things are real only in their minds. There are just theories. They're things that men have come up with. But God's grace is not just a doctrine or a theory. It is real. He is called the God of all grace.
Sir.
Grace exists because God is. That's the only place it exists.
Amen.
Grace exists because God is. Now, a lot of people sing about grace. There may be even some that sing graciously. Mm-hmm. But it would seem that there are very few who are singing today with grace in their hearts. Now, there are several different ways you can approach this. As far as, am I singing with grace in my heart? Oftentimes, there are many different ways, as I said, you can approach this, but oftentimes you can tell if a person is singing with grace in their heart by the song that they're singing.
Yeah.
And if they're singing some song that is some false gospel, which Paul says is not another,
exactly.
It's a perversion of the gospel of Christ, there is no grace there.
Exactly.
Grace joins itself to grace, just as truth joins itself to truth. there are people who don't like some of the songs in this songbook. And you know why? Not because of truth factor. I mean, not just because they're not songs they're not used to. There are people who don't like some of the songs in this book because they tell the truth about God and about man. I mean, you go into most places, they have no idea these songs, some of these songs even exist. It is sad to say, but probably the majority of professed Christians thinks that all singing comes from Stamps and Baxter. And a lot of Stamps Baxter is nothing but lies. And it's all about man. And it's all about self. And it's all about me and where I am and what I'm doing. And there are very few hymns that are songs of praise to God. Here's a question. And it's a question that actually only I can answer for me. And only you can answer for you. We may encourage one another. We may try to help one another. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty of this thing, I cannot prove to you whether you have grace in your heart or not. That's not the point. Scripture says His Spirit bears witness that with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen.
And many professed Christians have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
They can't relate to it. Yeah. It's just that's just some theory. It's just some doctrine. Well, here's a question. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think it's mainly verse 10, the Apostle Paul makes this statement. Now, the direct context of this statement is Paul is saying, I'm an apostle. But he said, I feel myself to be the least of the apostles because he persecuted the church of God. The very entity that the Apostle Paul was trying to destroy, God Almighty in his free reigning grace, set Paul up as an apostle over that very thing.
That's exactly right.
As a leader and guide of this very thing. The Apostle Paul makes this statement though. And it is applicable to us all if we have grace, if we possess grace, if grace is a reality in our heart. I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
Now, he doesn't say merely, this is not just some gem. We are what we are by the grace of God. Now, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with that statement, but it can, or I'm afraid, all too often is used as an excuse for not trying to find out the reality of grace in me.
Yeah, exactly.
We are what we are by the grace of God, so what do we then do? We begin to judge whether we have grace by one another as the standard.
Yeah.
Well, if I at least come up to the minimum, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You see? And we try to look for, or maybe not in some conscious way, we look for the weakest person and we say, well, you know, I've got some things that are a little better than them. Somehow I can rise above that person, Joe. But Paul said, we're not like those that judge ourselves among ourselves, that make ourselves the standard and then say, well, we're okay because we're all alike. Because the fact is, if we're all alike and we lack grace, we're under condemnation and judgment. But if we're not all alike, yet we all have grace in our hearts, we're okay.
Yeah.
We're okay. No, it's not. We are what we are by the grace of God. It's just like when it's a similar statement. Well, here's what we believe at chapel. That's all well and good, but this is not about what we believe at chapel. This is all about what I believe. Because as is with every other local assembly, there were original local assemblies, right?
Yes, sir.
We're actually told of more than seven, but there are seven specifically listed in the book of the Revelation, the seven churches of Asia Minor. And then we have others here listed with their letters to. Not a one of them exists today, right? So it's not about, well, this is what we believe here at this one local assembly. This is about what I believe. This is not about whether do we all have grace here. The question I must ask myself is, do I have grace in my heart?
Exactly.
And what you have to ask yourself is, do I have grace in my heart? Paul says, I am what I am.
Yeah.
Mother Grace of God. And I thought about that. I've said that so many times. But Paul said, I am.
Yep.
This is not a theory.
Exactly.
This is not just a position Paul takes. This is who Paul is.
Yes, sir.
Now here's the point. If God has given you grace, if he has regenerated you and converted you by his gospel, of which we will look at later, maybe today if we have time. But if he's done that, you know he's done that. This is something that actually happens to God's people. This is an experience they go through. I know there are some people who don't like the word experiential salvation. But salvation, that is being regenerated and converted, is, must be, it is an absolute necessity, it must be experienced. It has to actually happen. You can't work this up in some religious fervor. You can't make this happen by some repentant attitude. This is an act of God Almighty that must take place on and within an individual. This is something God Almighty does. God bestows grace.
Yes, sir.
God bestows grace. Paul said, I am what I am. And I know this, with all, in spite of, not just with all, in spite of all of my failures, I am what I am. By the grace of God.
Amen.
Now everybody is what they are. They are what they are, right?
Yes, sir.
The question is it by the flesh? Are you what you are by the flesh? Or are you what you are by the grace of God? And that's the question. Paul's not saying, I stand above everybody else. I am what I am by the grace of God. We all are what we are. The question is, what's made you what you are? And I'll go even further. The question is not, do you believe free reigning grace? Do you believe the sovereign Christ just because everybody else around here does?
Yeah, that's it.
Or do you believe it because God Almighty brought you to that place where you had no other alternative?
Exactly.
You had no other place to go. You had no one else to turn to. I am what I am by the grace of God. And let me tell you something. When God bestows grace, when God gives grace individually, other people will recognize something has happened. Now, they may not recognize it as grace. They may not acknowledge it as a gracious act of God. They may not acknowledge that this person knows the Messiah, the Christ of God. But they're going to know this person's different. Something's changed about them. And I'm not talking about they're a bad person, all of a sudden they become a good person. Well, that bad person is still there.
Yeah. Right.
God doesn't change us and make us good people. There is none good, no, not one. Being saved is not being going from a bad or an evil person to a good person. Being saved is God revealing his son to you. That's what being saved is. Is God in his grace revealing the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
Jesus Christ becomes your all. He's the most important thing of everything. And if he's not, I don't care. If you just believe the doctrines, you don't have anything. The devils know God's sovereign.
Yeah.
Believe you me.
Yep.
Now, a lot of people don't even know that.
That's exactly.
But the devils know that.
Yes, sir.
We know who you are. Jesus, thou Son of God, are you come to torment us before our time? Now think about it. They knew they had a time to be tormented.
Yes, sir.
But they knew here's the sovereign God. He had the right to advance that and punish them right now.
Yes, sir.
If he so pleased. And then what did they do? They asked for permission.
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. I thought the devil was God's arch enemy sneaking around and just thwarting God's purposes every which way. The devil can't spit lest God gives him say-so.
Exactly.
That's just a fact.
Yes, sir.
God could have put him in hell to start with.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he could have.
But he didn't.
Yeah.
right?
That's it.
Hmm? No. Look, God, you've got a hedge around Job. God said, all right. I'll take down the hedge. And you can touch everything about him but his life. But you know what? The amazing thing is it wasn't the devil that brought up the subject to Job. That's what everybody thinks. Well, here's good old Job. Boy, he just serving God. And he was. He was a man that feared God and avoided eschewed evil.
Yes, sir.
But they think here's old good, righteous, believing Job. And up here's God. The devil sneaks up and comes up to God and says, all right, God, you're protecting Job. No, actually, the way it happened is as happened, there was a time when these entities presented themselves before the throne of God. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
And when they did, God said, have you considered my servant Job?
That's right.
I think it's about time to bring him through a trial here, take him down a road he's never been down before. And you know what? I'm going to do this because I want to do this. Satan, have you considered him? Well, yeah, but you put a hedge around him. I can't touch him.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. We serve thee, not an almighty God. We serve the almighty God.
Amen.
That's why we're to sing hymns.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. The God that most people believe, he don't deserve a hymn.
No.
He don't deserve to be praised.
No.
He loves their free will more than he does their eternal soul. He'd rather let them go to an eternal burning hell, loving them as much as religion says he does. But he'd rather let them go to hell than offend their free will. Let me tell you, even decent parents don't treat their children that way.
Exactly.
If you know your child's an idiot, and they are.
Yeah.
That's right. We're born idiots.
Oh, yeah.
We think we know everything, and we find out we know nothing. But I mean, if you have a child, and that child's an idiot, and they're going to be one. And that child says, I want to play in the street in the traffic.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to offend your free will. Yeah. Best of luck to you. I hope you make the right decision and look both ways. Now, what are you going to do if you love that child? You're going to get them by the arm, and you will say, no.
Yeah.
You will not play in the street.
Exactly.
Right? The love of God. Mm-hmm. That's why when we sing, that's why we sing the songs we sing.
Yes, sir.
That's why we do not sing the old rugged cross.
Yeah.
Because we do not cherish the old rugged cross on which the Prince of Glory died.
No.
We cherish the Prince of Glory who died on the old rugged cross.
Amen. Exactly.
That song, it may not be a lie to some folk. Because they may cherish that cross.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not the truth of God.
No.
And that's not having grace in your heart. I remember years ago, I thought, boy, some people are picky.
Uh-huh.
When I began to meet grace people, I found out why.
Yeah.
As God teaches you truth, you realize you ought to be picky.
Yeah.
Because a lie is a lie is a lie.
Yes, sir.
There are no half-truths.
No.
And there are no untruths. A lie is an offense to God.
Amen.
Remember, even though God don't have them, he said, man's sin come up as a stench in my nostrils. He don't even have nostrils. Right? He's spirit.
Yes, sir.
But he was defining to us with something we can relate to.
Yeah.
You ever smelled that rotting carcass?
Mm.
Huh? Are you going to pull out your sandwich and sit down and have a meal beside that thing?
Mm.
Huh? No. That's why God uses these human expressions. It was a stench in his nostrils. And God drowned the whole world.
Yes, sir.
The whole human race, save 8 people.
Yes, sir.
Right? Now, according to Scripture, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
A lot of people is almost like, you know, in the Old Testament, boy, God's tough. In the New Testament, God is love. No, the New Testament says, behold the severity of God.
Yes, sir.
Right? Behold the severity of God. I am, according to the Apostle Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. And the grace of God's real, because in Acts chapter 11, you can read the account, 22 through 23. The church had heard that a certain group of people, the grace of God had been preached to them, and they received it. And they believed on Christ, and they followed the Lord. So they sent Barnabas to find out if this thing was real or not.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They sent old Barnabas down, and it said when he went there, he seen the grace of God.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Now, you don't see what ain't real.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? If you think you've seen Santa Claus, you dreamed it.
Yeah.
Or you went to the store too many times. Santa Claus ain't real. Okay, the Easter Bunny ain't real.
No.
But grace is real.
Yes, sir.
And when God gives grace, it can be seen.
Yes, sir.
It changes people.
Yeah.
You see, grace is a reality that we have within us. It's not, like I'm saying, this is about grace, 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 grace. And for them, I used to be a drunk, now I'm not one. I used to take dope, now I don't.
Yeah.
I used to go to the movies, and now I only go see certain movies.
Yeah.
I used to listen to rock and roll, now I only listen to gospel songs. And they're still listening to rock and roll.
Yeah.
That's basically what they're doing. They just changed from one type of rock to another type of rock.
Yep.
That's what most people think, that this thing of grace is just a change of attitude, a change of a way of life, going from being a sinner to being a saint, to being a person who didn't go to church, now I go to church. No, it's being one that hated Christ, rejected the truth of Christ, would not have the truth of Christ, and then all of a sudden a 180 degree turn happens, and you begin to love the very person you once hated.
Sir.
Somebody says, I don't hate Christ. Well, God says you do.
Yeah.
I didn't think I did either.
Yeah.
I mean, from the earliest of my recollections, I'd went forward and given my heart to Jesus. I'd loved Jesus most all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I had no problem with Jesus, David.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was up in heaven. He died for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was taught that in Sunday school.
Yep.
Then I began to hear who Jesus really was.
And
how Jesus really works. And what Jesus really did. And God showed me my hatred for him.
Yeah.
I began to say within myself, that cannot be the Christ of God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it was.
Yes, sir.
And here's the grace of God being present. This is why I can say, in spite of my imperfections, in spite of my sins,
yeah.
This is why I can say today, and I say it with all confidence of assurance in God, not in me.
Yeah.
I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
It took that to change me.
Yes, sir.
It took that to make me love what I once hated and hate what I once loved.
Yes, sir.
That's not common to the natural man. That's not something you can work up.
Yeah.
You may love the doctrines because you may be comfortable with them. You may have no real problem with them. A lot of people don't. They've been catechized, raised up in the church, whether it be the Presbyterian church or the Primitive Baptist church or the Old School church or the Baptist church or whether it's the Episcopalian church. And they've been brought up in all of this, and they've got no problem with the doctrines of grace. But they got a problem with the God of grace.
Yes, sir.
I'll believe all those doctrines, but I'll go live and serve. I'll live the way I want to live, and I'll serve what I want to serve.
Yep.
And I've met them, not a lot of them, but I've met Presbyterians, and you begin to talk about free reign and grace, and they'll say, you know, nobody talks about that anymore. You know that? And they can talk about the old doctrines and the 5 points, but you know what? They don't ever talk about Christ.
Yeah.
Christ is just another part of this theory they believe, this thing they've been brought up to believe. No, grace is God doing something to you.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me just, I got a few minutes left here. I said it's grace, it's a reality.
Yeah.
It's real. Grace, doctrinally speaking, And for that, us, this part of it I'm going to talk about right now, it is, for us, it is just a doctrine because we didn't experience this. The only thing we can experience as far as grace is concerned is as a result of this. Let me try to define what explain what I'm saying here. The truth of grace is that God chose a certain people.
Yes, sir.
Even the Arminians admit that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the basis upon which he chose.
Yeah.
That's the disagreement and the argument. Anybody who denies God chose a people is an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm serious. There's no place. We're not debating here. They're an idiot. This book, clearly, God chose some people.
Yes, sir.
Now, the question is, did he choose them because of some good thing they would do, or did he choose them sovereignly of his own will? That's the question.
That's it.
God chose the people. As a matter of fact, it's actually stated this way, that God chose by grace.
Amen.
Right? This is the way Paul puts it. Now, we're going to Paul deals with, and that's the only one I'm going to deal with this morning, other than to say this, Paul is dealing with Jews, Jewish people. But I will say, and I'm not even going, as I said, I'm not going into that, but the election of the Jews is no different than the election of, is no different than the election of the Gentiles. And that's borne out in Scripture. But let's look at the election of the Jews. Did God choose the Jews because he seen they would serve him? That's kind of far from it, wasn't it? As a matter of fact, the Jews wouldn't have existed had God not chose to create them.
Exactly.
They weren't just a people among the other people. God created them.
Yes, sir.
He took a man whose loins was dead, and he took a woman whose womb was dead, and he gave life there, and they came together, and they conceived a son. That's a miracle. And the son born to that boy was named Jacob. Now, Abraham and Isaac were not Israelites. Only people from Isaac on were Israelites. Right? No, Jacob, sorry. Jacob on. Because Jacob's name was changed to what?
Israel.
Everybody talks about Israelites and they go all the way back to Abraham. Abraham originally was no different than us. That's all that existed at one world.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this new race exists on the face of the earth. Now, did God says, I didn't choose you because you were the most. Not even because they were obedient.
No.
He said, I chose you because I meant to choose you.
Amen.
He says, you, your family, of you, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. And the Apostle Paul puts it this way, chapter 11. This is election, and it's grace. Now, anybody that wants to separate, if they want to talk about grace and have grace and grace in them, but they reject election, they're rejecting the foundation of God's grace.
You're right.
It's not rejecting a doctrine. It's not rejecting a doctrine. We're not talking about accepting a doctrine. We're talking about believing God as he is, not as we want him to be. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Cast away his people. God forbid. For I also am a... Now, Abraham was a Jew. And that is kind of like a transliteration of the old word Hebrew.
Yeah.
But he don't say even Jew or Hebrew. He says, I also am an Israelite.
Yeah.
Of the seed of Abraham. Yes. But tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Now someone said, well, see, right there, God foreknew what they would do. That's not what that says. That's not what that says.
No.
He didn't foreknow their works.
No.
He foreknew them.
Amen.
This is not pre-science.
No.
This is foreordained love.
Yes, sir.
This is a relationship entered into unilaterally with a people before they even ever existed. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Watch ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God. What did he say? For Israel?
Exactly.
No, against Israel.
Yes, sir.
Saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets. Now here's it. Boy, right there's a real good qualification to choose you, ain't it? They've killed thy prophets, they've digged down thine altars, now I'm left alone, they seek my life. What answer to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal.
Amen.
I have heard right there what that really means. I have reserved to myself 7,000. Well, that probably means couple thousand. Well, that probably means couple thousand. Maybe 5,500, right? You know what I believe? There was exactly 7,000. You know? The New Testament acknowledges that on the day of Pentecost. I think it was. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't Pentecost, but just Pentecost. Just a few days later, it says that there were, and the Lord added such as should be saved.
Amen.
Well, that worked out good for God, didn't it? No, it ain't happenstance. No, I've reserved to myself 7,000 men who've not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So what kind of conclusion do we get from this? Is this my opinion? Is this just Walter? Is that just these kind of primitive, old school kind of people? Is that just their opinion? Even so then, at this present time, there is also, at this time also, there is a what? A remnant. According to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace ceases to become grace, doesn't it? Grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. And somebody said, but God wanted it for everybody. But he just knew that only certain people would take it. Is that the answer?
Not exactly.
Well, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for? Wait a minute. They were seeking for it. But they didn't get it.
Yeah.
I thought everybody who sought was going to get it. I thought everybody who come to Jesus is going to be all right.
Yeah.
Huh? According to what kind of seeking you're talking about.
Exactly.
According to what kind of coming you're talking about. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest, what does it say? Were blinded.
Yes, sir.
According as it is written, the devil hath given them the spirit of slumber. Is that what that says? What does it say?
Not quite.
It says God.
Yes.
But how could that be? Because he's God. He hardens whom he will, and he has compassion on whom he will.
Amen.
According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David understood that as well.
Yes.
David didn't fight against that, did he?
No.
What does he say? And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Now, does that mean God's done with the Jews? Other than just that remnant of that day, of Paul's day? Read and you'll find out. No. No. There's going to be a remnant throughout this age. Right?
Yes, sir.
And this remnant is going to exist amongst the Jews, this election of grace, these certain individuals that God's chosen out from among the Jewish people. And they're going to obtain what the rest cannot obtain. And then it says, until the fullness, what? Of even the Gentiles be come in.
Yep.
Now see, I have heard people, it's sad, I look back years ago, that place I used to be, and people, they kind of remind me of that one Pharisee Christ spoke to, and he said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. He didn't tell him he was in it. He said, you're not far from it. And I used to hear him pray, oh, Lord, may the last one come in today. And I'm sitting there, and I wasn't taught that way. You see, I'm taught God wants them all to come in. They ain't no last ones.
Exactly.
You know? And I'm thinking, what?
Yep.
Is he actually praying for maybe the last one to come in. What about the ones that are left? Huh? See, sometimes truth comes out, Jack, even when people don't believe it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? God will cause them to speak the truth even when they don't believe the truth.
Oh, yeah.
But then that same person, next Sunday, pray, oh, Lord, thank you for just one more day on this side of eternity. I thought, boy, they must have had a good week.
Yeah.
You know, they must have had a really good day to be glad to be here one more day. I'd just soon be on that side and all this be done with. Somebody said, that's crazy. No, that's reality.
Yeah.
Well, see, the whole thing is, when God gives you grace in your heart, not everything gets better.
That's true.
There is a sense. And I'm saying this tongue, there's a sense, tongue in cheek, there's a sense in which everything gets worse.
Yep.
Try Jesus. Have you seen that phrase, try Jesus? I mean, there are preachers telling people now that if they'll just come to Jesus, all their problems will be solved. And that is a lie.
Yeah.
I mean, if you come to the Christ of God, you have just approached and bowed to the most hated person in all of creation.
Yes, sir.
I didn't say he's created, but in all of creation, Jesus Christ is hated more than anything else.
You're right.
I dare you, go out on the street and ask them, do you hate Jesus? The majority of them, I don't know what the percentage would be, but I would say the majority of them say, well, no, I don't. I might not even be a Christian, but they don't hate him. Right?
Right.
But then tell him what he did. When there were thousands of widows in Israel. Is this Jesus? He's God.
Yes, sir.
He's the one that did this. Yep. There were thousands of widows in Israel. God didn't feed one of them. It says he did not feed them.
That's what it says.
But he sent his prophet to a Gentile woman. Just one. I guarantee you there were many, many widows amongst the Gentiles as well, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah.
But he sent that prophet to one woman. And they said, also, what about there were many lepers in Israel? Tell them that. There's a lot of people out here, lepers. See, David, they've got problems. They've got difficulties. They could use deliverance. God don't send them deliverance. He'll go to one man, a man named Naaman.
Yeah.
And he'll heal that man. And that man wasn't even looking for it in the right way.
No, huh?
When the prophet told him what to do, he said, I'm not going down in that filthy Jordan.
Exactly.
Right? Something changed his mind, didn't it, David? You know what changed his mind? The truth.
Yep.
Another person, it wasn't even a prophet, told him the truth.
Yep.
But you go tell people that. So that's who Jesus is. He picks and chooses who he shows mercy to. You see how they respond then. The Jesus lovers will begin to diminish quite quickly. I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, that's no new thing. I was so naive when God began to show me the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I thought, man, anybody who professes to believe, to be a Christian, and they begin to hear this, they're going to love this. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
I found out quite the opposite. The majority of people who profess to believe in Christ hate Christ.
Yes, sir.
When they really begin to find out who Christ is.
That's true.
But it's no new thing. See, to me, that was new. I couldn't understand. I thought, man, it's got to get better now. And here I am, after 25, 26 years, and I'm stuck with you. I ain't got no further than that. You know that? In the world, they like to point that out too.
Oh, yeah.
They like to point that out. Well, look where it's got you. You know? Let me tell you, I know something. I do know this. I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's a fact. That's grace.
Yes, sir.
But see, that's not new. It was new to me. I thought this just, people are not going to hate this. Not unless they're just some, you know, reprobate, God-hating infidel. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How naive I was. But again, I say it's not new. That happened to Christ himself, wasn't it? He went to synagogue, as was his custom. He was handed the roll. He stood up to read. He opened the roll up to a passage and he began to read. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And what did they say? What gracious words. Right? I mean, boy, you quote the scripture to people and they'll just, oh, he's a Christian.
Yeah.
Huh? He believes the Bible. Oh, yeah. He goes to church. Now, he don't have a choir. But he's still not bad. You know, he's okay. But then tell them who God really is, like Christ did when he told them Jews about Naaman and that old Gentile woman. Mm-hmm. And them same people that just moments before said what gracious words was ready to pick up rocks and kill him.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because of grace. Yes. Because of grace.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Because of grace. See, the fact is, most people, when they define grace, they don't use this book.
No.
They use the dictionary.
Yeah.
Most people, when they try to define grace, they do not use this book. They use their own sentiment and their own emotional mentality.
Exactly.
That just don't feel right.
Yeah.
It's not about feelings. You know, it just don't sound right. The problem is, it is right.
Yes,
sir. You remember the question was asked, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
Mm-hmm.
Who asked that question? Anybody remember?
Yeah.
Somebody remember, so I'll remember who it was. I don't remember. Somebody asked that question, didn't they? No. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And who asked that question? Abraham did.
Yeah.
Now, did he do right or not? He did. But you know how he did? You know what he did? He saved three people. A man and his two daughters. And he burned up, not just two cities, but all the cities of the plains. Sodom and Gomorrah were just the most two prominent. That's why it was all the cities of the plains. God burned up undoubtedly thousands of people from the oldest to what? To the babies. God burn them up.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he did.
That's it.
Somebody said, well, I'm sure God saved them. Well, they still burned to burn up before they got there.
Exactly.
Do you think fire and brimstone from heaven is a nice way to go? Huh? Come on now. People always trying to lessen the truth somehow. God killed everyone but three.
Yes, sir.
There was a fourth one. He turned her to a pillar of salt because she turned back. You know that? Right? Now, do you believe that's an old wives' tale, or do we believe that's the truth of God? Do we believe that's God's grace?
Yes, sir.
Sadly, religion seems to think that grace is magnified in its numbers.
Yeah.
Grace, the only way grace can really be grace, love can really be love, if God wants to do it for everybody.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, now we're fallen. But Scripture says we are created in the image of God.
Yes.
Now, we fail from that original image.
Yes.
But James speaks of man as though, or in light of the fact of our original creation, that man was created in the image of God.
Yes, sir.
Now, there's not a one of us here that can honestly say, I want the same exact thing for everybody on this world. Can you say that? Will you do for someone overseas what you will do for your husband or your wife or your child? Huh? Will you? No. You see, love that's universal ain't love.
Yeah.
It can't be. David, if I loved every woman the same way, wouldn't be much when it comes to husband and wife, would it? Scripture says one man. It's what Genesis said, one man and one woman, right? You see, love, to be real, has to be particular. It has to be. I don't love everybody else's kids like I love my kids. And anybody says they do, they're a liar. They either don't know what love is, therefore they're lying, they're misinformed, or they do, and they're just flat out trying to deceive somebody. There's not a one of us. Not a one of us. When we come right down to the nitty-gritty of the facts of life and even nature itself, love, compassion, all of these things, grace, mercy, is not universal. It never has been, and it never will be.
That's right.
Boy, them three people God got out of Sodom and Gomorrah must have been something else for God to save them, burn the rest of that old wicked homosexual crowd up, right? Remember how Sodom and Gomorrah, they had some pretty bad folk there, right? Right? I guess them three people must have really been something else, David. Right? They must have been something special about those three.
Yeah.
Look where those three ended up.
Yeah.
It's even difficult to talk about.
Yeah.
But it's a fact recorded in Scripture.
Yes, sir.
Those three, that is a father and two daughters, they ended up in a cave with the father drunk and the two daughters sleeping with their father.
Yeah.
And becoming pregnant.
Yeah.
God chose them by foreknowledge, Joe. Hmm?
Yeah.
You know what? That's where the Scripture leaves them too.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Basically, that's where it leaves them.
Yeah.
Now, we know they went on, but that's where the story, David, ends.
Yeah.
The account kind of just dies there, and that's where we find out these two other groups of people come from.
Yeah.
Them two daughters of Lot. And then I come to the New Testament, and I read that Lot was a righteous and just man.
Yeah.
Must have been something outside of himself, wasn't it? That's what the Scripture calls grace.
Yes, sir.
That's grace. Father, I pray that you teach us thy word. Instruct us in thy truth. And Lord, by thy grace, conquer our own self-will and stubbornness. Lord, even today, we as thy people, we become agitated at times with the reality of that truth. And we see and feel your sovereign hand, and it hurts, and it brings us into pain and sorrow. But Lord, by your grace, cause us to say, the Lord gave, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I praise you in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Mason, would you?